Line, Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us in 1 hour because it is NFL trade deadline day. Now, the NFL trade deadline is officially at 3 p.m. today. So there are still some moves that could be made. I'm thinking that Rand Carthon and 31 other GMs across the league are picking up the phone, having conversations. So, of course, we'll keep everybody updated if and when those trades come down the pipe. But it is also Halloween today, so a very happy Halloween to everybody. Willie joins the fold from Vancouver. Willie, how are we doing?
I'm doing well, guys. The sun is shining out here, a beautiful city, especially when it's not raining, which it does quite often, but in fact, it was starting to pour yesterday when we left, and I was kidding Colton Sissons, who's from the Vancouver area. I said, look, we're getting warmed up for the Vancouver weather. He goes, hey, it's going to be sunny when we get there. Don't worry about it. And it is one of the most scenic cities going in North America, so this is always a great one to visit. Start of a 10-day road trip, 5 games in 10 days, so this should be fun tonight against the Canucks.
Should be a good one tonight. Should be a fun road trip for the Predators as well. But Willie, you were traveling yesterday. Weren't able to give your thoughts on the game. Anything exciting happen on Sunday?
I was texting you guys saying they moved the flight to 10 a.m. And so I am going to miss out on all the fun. Talking about that Will Levis debut, it was really something. And, you know, I had my bar set fairly low, like I do for pretty much any rookie quarterback. But I was astounded. I was blown away. And I'm pinching myself. I'm wondering, can he sustain anything close to this? I would expect there'll be some peaks and valleys. But D-Mace, I got to say, man, he did some things. How much was it? We talked leading up to it when we kind of knew he was going to be the guy. Mm-hmm. Was how much would they be able to use the element of surprise, the fact that they really had no tendencies on him, but and so how much do you think it was that, and how much do you think it was just Levis has been waiting for this shot and he's the real deal?
You know, I think it's and it's good to talk with you, Willie, up and over there in Vancouver.
Yep, I'm way over.
I'm sure it's probably a little bit. I wonder if it's a little bit warmer there than it is here because it's cold this morning. But it could have been a bit of both, but. You know, like I told Caroline yesterday, and we both agreed with it, and I think Caroline brought it up first, his poise, it was just, I was not necessarily surprised, but I was impressed with his poise as a rookie quarterback in a situation like that, because to me there are certain things you just can't teach in this league, and I think we all know one of them. If you got dog and you got dog, you can't teach a guy to be a certain way, aggressive and always getting up and going and being that type of player. You can't coach that in a guy once you get to the NFL. Poise is another one. You can't coach it. Either you have it, Willie, or you don't. You've seen plenty of guys that in the midst of the chaos that's going on in a basketball game, a football game, a hockey game, it's that one or two guys that just looks as if it doesn't affect them. And they don't get too high, they don't get too low. And that's what I was impressed, even thinking about it yesterday after the show. That's what I was impressed with Will Levis. More than his arm strength and everything, his poise in the pocket, that's something that you can't teach. Now, I don't know if that will allow him to be a great quarterback in this league. I don't know. But typically you see those great ones, they have the poise in the pocket that you need. No matter what's going on, these guys still continue to go out there and they perform and not let the surrounding circumstances dictate how they, you know, do their job.
He really came across to me as a guy that looked like he was supposed to do well. Like he himself was thinking, yeah, I'm supposed to go out here and succeed. It's not like, oh, let's see how I do. This is my first game. You know, he, like you said, Derek, he had a presence to him, which was really, really exciting to see. And, oh, by the way, this is what we were looking at last week. We were saying, what would we like to see? He did flash big-time talent. You know, some of those throws, even there's one he threw across the field. And I can't remember who caught it. It was either Phillips, might have been Westbrook-Ikhine, but he throws it on a rope from the near hash to the far sideline. It's only about a 7-yard gain. But I'm thinking, wow, that's big-time arm strength. And then throwing the ball down the field off the back foot, not even on time every time, but still putting it in the right place. He's got tools. He's got tools. And so you put tools and swagger together, you've got something to go off of here. Now let's see you do it again, right? You know, doing it for one game is one thing, but now doing it with a quick turnaround in a hostile environment on the road, that's another big test. But I'm anxious to see. I'm excited to see what he's doing.
Yeah, Willie, when you bring up, you know, was it – how much was it he is such a new commodity that nobody really has NFL tape on him? I think maybe a little bit. I cannot say definitively, but there are certain things that I saw Will Levis do on Sunday that I thought, I don't care how much tape or how much film or how much you're able to study this guy. That's just special. Like the Nick Westbrook-Ikhine throw. That's a Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers kind of throw that I don't care how much film you have on a guy. That's something that proves to me that Will Levis has special tools. Now, this is something that we talked about yesterday when we're talking about Will Levis, is let's keep in mind, it's one game. Let's keep in mind, it is the ittiest, bittiest, teeniest, weeniest sample size that we have of Will Levis. But it is all we have. Yeah. So it's not fair, I think, to expect that, you know, a 4-touchdown performance from Will Levis every single week. I think it's fair to expect some of those rookie woes, those rookie mistakes, his ups and downs. That's going to come. Every quarterback in the league, every player in the league, every player in any sport is going to go through that. But at least what we saw was incredibly encouraging. And at least what we saw was he was ready to take on that job, that it didn't seem like the moment was too big for him. So overall, just based off of one game and one performance, my expectations were, you know, low. Like you mentioned, Willie, my expectations were low. He exceeded every expectation that I ever could have possibly set for him. But my question for you two, now that today is NFL trade deadline day, how much do you think that game, Will Levis's performance and a win, now that the Titans are sitting at 3-4, should or will dictate what the Titans are going to do at the trade deadline today?
Boy, that's a really good question. And I was thinking about that a lot as they pulled out the victory. You know, it did get a little hairy there because Heinicke came off the bench and looked really good and kept them in the game. It looked like they might just blow them out of the water, but it ended up being a little tense. But now you're sitting there, you're going, wow, we played three games in our stadium. We've looked really good in all three, and we've beaten three pretty decent teams. If you look at the wild card picture in the AFC, it is a sea of teams that are 4-3 or 3-4, right? There's got to be eight of them. I lost count. The Browns have the last.
Oh, I think we lost Willie.
To keep in mind.
There we go.
There we go. Willie's back.
Oh, sorry, guys. But, you know, I do think you see the benefit of having Hopkins and having Henry as sort of security blankets to develop a young quarterback. So I think that's got to be part of your thinking when the phone rings, if the phone rings and you get an offer for those guys in particular, Hopkins and Henry.
Yeah, you know, did this game help the Titans make up their mind in regards to potential trades? Now, it has come out that the Tennessee Titans they've talked with Derrick Henry, and it seems as if Derrick Henry isn't going anywhere. And I thought about this yesterday, last night, and thought it's going to be hard for them, I think, to facilitate a trade because the week is so short. Because you just got finished with a Sunday game, now you got to go into a Thursday game. How much shakeup do you want to cause with this team? It seems as if they're not going to get rid of Derrick Henry. They're not going to move on from Derrick Henry unless there's a trade that comes across the table that you just can't refuse. And even with that, I think they're going to – that's something that needs to be talked about and thought about long and hard right up until the trade deadline, because it seems as if the owner doesn't want to part with Derrick Henry. Now, if the owner doesn't want to part with Derrick Henry, you better get a damn good deal that comes across that table that makes her think, you know, hey, we're better with these picks than without Derrick Henry. So I just think it's hard now to move on from Derrick Henry because it's such a short week. Other guys, I don't know. Because it seems like there's a few guys on defense they may be able to, you know, the whole Tier Tart thing is interesting to me because 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, after the Baltimore game, Tier Tart tweets this anonymous, you know, ominous. That's what I was looking for. Tweet suggesting that somebody was upset. Who's mad now?
He tweeted,
but then he took it back.
Who's laughing now or who's mad now? I think he said who is mad now.
Exactly. So that tweet, and then Vrabel sort of spoke on Tier Tart a little bit. So that may be a situation where the Titans are looking to move on. But we saw this defense without Tier Tart. And we saw this defense Sunday with Tier Tart. Which one do you want? Put Jeffrey Simmons to the side because Jeffrey Simmons is a damn good player. But I think he plays better when Tier Tart's on the field. They both play together really well. You look at what Washington did. They're getting ready to trade. Well, they just traded their big defense, Sweat. They just traded
him to the Bears.
Yeah, they just traded Sweat. They had a good combination of three, you know, defensive guys on that line that played well together. But they're looking for they're looking toward the future and they're trying to get picks. Well, to me, the second best combination in the National Football League, you know, and I may be biased here, but it's Tier Tart and Simmons. Those two guys play well together, and it's not a coincidence that when Tier Tart wasn't in the lineup, what happened to the Titans' defense? And then he's back in the lineup, and they look like a much better defense. Jeffrey Simmons looks like a damn good player. He looks like the Jeffrey Simmons that we are accustomed to seeing. So I don't know if they're going to be able to – I don't know if they – unless something comes across the table, I don't think they're going to make any moves moving forward. I thought about the Hopkins move, but after that, the Titans may want a little bit more for him. And teams probably are not going to be willing to not only give up the picks, but then take on the salary as well. So I think D-Hop stays put, and that's only going to help Will Levis moving forward.
Yeah, and Caroline, I would add this, and we talked about this before. You're weighing – I think you brought this up last week. You're weighing what value of pick are we talking here. If it's just a pick, a seventh rounder or a sixth rounder, you weigh that versus what does Hopkins – and what do Hopkins and Henry provide as a support system for a young quarterback, right? That's the two things you're weighing.
And I think on Sunday that showed how important and valuable veteran pieces like Derrick Henry and DeAndre Hopkins are to a young quarterback like Will Levis. And, you know, that doesn't mean that Derrick Henry and DeAndre Hopkins are off the table. Like, if the Chiefs are desperate enough to get a receiver and to get another weapon for Patrick Mahomes, that they're willing to give you a second-round pick for DeAndre Hopkins, then you have to take it. At least have to pick up the phone call about people that have potential offers on the table for DeAndre Hopkins. But if you're willing to give me a fifth for D-Hop, no thanks. Because
you saw what the Seahawks did, right? The Seahawks jumped in there. They offered a second and a fourth, I think, for the Giants, Leonard Williams. That's it. You know, that's a team that's like, forget it, man. I don't care about these picks. Let's go for it.
Right.
And after the Chiefs played the way they did the other day, you know, maybe somebody's desperate. Somebody like that overpays. I think you're looking for somebody to overpay to consider something like that.
I would agree because it's not just about if Ryan Tannehill never got hurt and Ryan Tannehill was still your quarterback, I think that we would have a different approach. Mm-hmm. But right now, if your goal is to, one, win enough games this season, and two, also focus on the future, meaning gaining draft capital, and also focus on the future and your future quarterback, then you're not going to want to throw your future quarterback, your future franchise quarterback to the Wolves. because Treylon Burks has been inconsistent and unreliable, and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Chris Moore, they're good players, but they're not the same security blanket that a DeAndre Hopkins would be for Will Levis. But Diana Russini was on with Robbie and Rexroad this morning, and of course we know Diana Russini is dialed into the Tennessee Titans. She was asked about the Titans' approach to the trade deadline and what she knows. This was Diana Russini this morning.
Titans are probably standing pat today.
No, I think they're taking calls, actually. I do. I think, Joe, I think you're spot on with how they're going to probably approach it, which is you keep guys like Derrick Henry and DeAndre Hopkins, pieces that can help Will continue to produce here coming up, especially, obviously, on a short week. And, you know, we'll discuss what they're going to do, I'm sure, later when Ryan comes back from injury of what they're, you know, what situation they're going to be put in based on what I think Will does on Thursday. But, you know, from talking to other GMs around the league about what Ran has been, how he's kind of been handling business, it really sounds like he's open. He's definitely listening. He's picking up the phone. This isn't a situation where they're just like, no, we're rolling with our guys. They're just really trying to get good compensation, knowing that they need draft capital. And there's certainly a tone coming out of Tennessee where they know they need it. So, do I think his asking prices are going to be out of this world where people are just hanging up? No, which is why I think he's still working the phones today, because I do think they want to get some deals done to put themselves in a good position here coming up. And you know, talking to other GMs outside of Tennessee, you always hear, like, especially headed into this past weekend, headed into week 8, they kept telling me, like, we got to see what happens with this weekend's game. And I sometimes I was doubting a little bit of that, because I do think a lot of these GMs have their plan in place. But I will say, yesterday, so many conversations I had were different from what I was having on Friday. Guys that were keeping their pieces were selling, and guys that weren't really sure they wanted to buy were back in the game to start looking to improve their team. So it's really become interesting this time of year to look at how the approach is. But
okay, that was Diana Russini on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. So I think that kind of aligns with what we think is the smart approach. Yeah. And maybe I guess what we think the Titans' approach should be is Sunday may have shifted your perspective of what the asking price should be for a D-Hop or a Derrick Henry. That doesn't mean that Rand's not going to pick up the phone. Rand's going to pick up the phone. And Rand understands that draft capital is important for this football team right now. But what's the return for the draft capital versus what's important for your young quarterback?
Yeah, and that's what they got to figure out. And it's hard to, you know, it would have been great to see Treylon Burks, you know, be more involved with the offense. You know, he tried to make a great catch on the sideline, caught it, but didn't leave himself enough room. The pass going toward the sideline, the first big throw that Will made, showing his arm strength. The defensive back made a good play. You know, so I think a lot of it was predicated on how does Treylon Burks come out and play Sunday. If he comes out and he's involved in the offense and you see it and he's in tune and he's making catches, I think you're more inclined to have business open when it comes to the rest of the guys. It's really only one guy, D-Hop. Yeah. But because that didn't happen, now as a GM and as a head coach, you got to think, will it ever happen this year? And if we're going to keep this young guy underneath center, he's going to need a viable weapon. He's going to need someone that he can depend on. While he's hurt, I think while he's starting to come on, but he's hurt now. Hopefully he'll be back Thursday, if not Thursday, the next following week. You got Chika Conquo, who hasn't shown anything but that he can drop the football.
I'm disappointed in him.
Hope it gets better. But when you have guys that you depend on that are not playing up to that level, you had another guy that's out, your young tight end, the only guy you have really, and no slight to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Chris Moore, I like both of them. But again, are they going to affect the secondary the way you need it to be affected in order to have a good passing game? Yes and no, I think. But you need Treylon Burks to come on. Because if he comes on, now you feel the future's bright. You got a young quarterback with a big arm and a young stud receiver that can go get the ball. Right now, the quarterback showed you, yeah, I got a big arm. But the receiver hadn't showed you that I can stay healthy and be a contributor and a playmaker for this team consistently.
What if the Titans were getting calls about Treylon Burks?
They're not trading Treylon. They're not. And you got to give a first-round pick and something else for Treylon because it's too, he's
You're not
too young.
A first-round pick for Treylon.
Yeah,
Burks.
He's too young. And you know, it's – I don't know. I would like to see Treylon Burks really take a hold, ownership of being the first-round pick of the Tennessee Titans. Take ownership of it, run with it, you know, approach it as such. Approach it, go out there like you are the guy. That's what I want to see from him. But you can't see it when he's not on the field. And he's been off the field more than on the field.
That's what I was going to say. I just like to see him stay on the field each week and make some steady gains between now and the end of the season. I think where he is at the end of the season will be really important.
I think we started to see that ownership over training camp. You know, he took the Cessna plane to make sure that he was there in time for OTAs, stayed in Nashville, worked out at the facility. I think we started to see that growth. But like you said, you can't see the growth on the field if you're not on the field. But let's continue the trade deadline conversation coming up next because Diana Russini, we just heard from her. She was on with Robbie and Rex Road this morning. And could she have presented a little bit of insight to the golden question that comes up on big personnel days in the NFL like we did today? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Is very matter of fact. There's no gray area with Mike. It's he knows what he wants. But the way it's been explained to me from other teams is Rand Carthon is running it, and he is the general manager of the Tennessee Titans for a reason, and that organization believes in him. I know Mike Vrabel believes in him. So while I think Mike is always going to probably have an opinion and a say, Rand is running the show, and that's exactly the way it should be. But in terms of the dynamic, I have never gotten a sense from being around them, from talking to them, from when I've been in Nashville that there's a problem. In fact, I think they have a really good marriage. I think if you're a Titans fan and you're maybe worried that there's issues in the building about a power struggle, that's all rumor. That is not at all what I've been sensing coming out of that building.
That was Diana Russini on with Robbie and Rex Road this morning. And as we know, Diana Russini has a direct line into the front office of the Tennessee Titans. Now, I think the golden question and the question that will, I think, continue to arise and has arisen whenever there's big personnel decisions to be made. Today, the NFL trade deadline. What we talked about a lot during the NFL draft is who has final say? Between Rand Carthon, Mike Vrabel, Amy Adams Strunk, we were told that it was a quote-unquote collaboration. But surely somebody has to have the final say. Now, Diana Russini was on with Robbie and Rexford this morning. She says that Rand runs the show. What do we make of that?
I do think Rand runs the show. As we were talking about last week, right, we're trying to theorize what's everybody's day-to-day operation look like. Mike Vrabel's preparing the team to play against the Steelers. He's not running the show when it comes to trade rumors. Nobody has enough time to do that. What I do think Mike Vrabel has is probably some sort of veto power, right, that he didn't have before. I think that's the simplest way to explain it. Does that make sense? That would make sense to me. I'm an outsider. I don't know. And as Diana said, a lot of people can guess and rumor and try to pick apart what somebody says and think that they have a clue. But the bottom line is none of us have a real clue unless we're in there every day. But I would theorize that that's the way it should work. Rand should run the show with trade talks, phone calls, gauging the value of all the assets, looking at next year's draft class, looking at draft capital, all that stuff. And then you bring in Mike Vrabel and say, here's where we're at, deal we have on the table, what do you think? And Mike Vrabel probably has earned the right to say, look, I don't like this, let's not do this, especially after getting burned with the AJ Brown trade.
Yeah, I think I would more so lean toward what you just said, Willie. I think, you know, the day-to-day decisions in regards to, you know, phone calls being made, phone calls being taken, you know, guys that you want to bring in for workouts and stuff like that, I think Rand facilitates all that, because to me during the season it's just too much. You know, it's too much for a head coach to try to sit there and navigate all that, all while trying to coach, you know, your team. Vrabel said the other day when I forgot who asked the question, but, you know, in regards to, yeah, was there players coming up to you, you know, saying Will Levis is doing great and, you know, why isn't he playing? Did the coaches come up to you and tell you how good he was doing? He was like, no, they need to concentrate on, you know, playing against the Atlanta Falcons or this upcoming game against the Steelers. They don't need to be, you know, telling me I see what I see in practice. They don't need to come up to me then. So that means everybody just needs to do their job. You know, we got a game this week. We need to worry about games. We need to worry about game planning. We need to worry about stopping a team's opposing offenses. We don't have enough time to be doing all that other stuff. So if he's saying that about his coaching staff, he also has to mean that about himself. I am concentrating on this team this week. Rand takes care of the facilitating trades and hearing all the talk. But then ultimately, like you said, it's a collaboration. So ultimately, I bring it down to Vrabel. Say, hey, this is what the deal. What do you think? And then Vrabel has the right to say, maybe that's not the right move we want to make. Or, yeah, so to me, even with the Byard thing, he gave the okay to trade Byard. He said, I believe
that's an important point.
Exactly. I believe he said, oh, Rand brought it down to him, the picks and everything else, laid it all out for him, and said, okay, what do you want to do? What do you think? And Vrabel probably said, okay, let's do it. So I think the day-to-day stuff in regards to, you know, what Rand does, he has control over that. But then Vrabel wants to feel as if he has a say, which he should have a say over the roster. Yeah. And whether guys are on a team or not, and he has that right.
Yeah, I would agree with you guys. I think that the choice of words, Rand runs the show, mm-hmm. I think that could be interpreted so many different mm-hmm. ways. You know, Diana Russini did not say Rand Carthon has final say in personnel decisions. Mm-hmm. She said that Rand runs the show, which I think we all kind of thought that he did anyway, in the way that I'm interpreting that as Rand is in the office watching tape, doing evaluation, on the phones with general managers, facilitating trades. But that doesn't mean that Rand has final say and end all be all the ability to green or red light a trade or a move or an acquisition or a draft pick or whatever it might mean. I think that means that Rand does what we thought he did. He does player evaluation and he serves as the general manager contact for other general managers across the league. I don't think any of us thought that Mike Vrabel had Bill Belichick power, mm-hmm. where Bill is the GM, he's the coach, he wears all of the hats. There is no other, you know, person in the equation with Bill Belichick. It is Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. I always viewed this relationship between Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel kind of like John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, where John Lynch is the general manager, mm-hmm. where he's picking up the phone and he's talking to GMs. But Kyle Shanahan has the ability to say yes or no. Mm-hmm. We're doing that. We're not going to do that. Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton, it was the same way, where Mickey Loomis was the cap calculator. Mickey Loomis was talking to GMs, but Sean Payton had the right to say, I want that guy on my team. I don't want that guy on my mm-hmm. team. I think that's a very similar relationship that Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel have, that Rand Carthon collects all of the data. Rand Carthon has the conversations with the right people that they need to have conversations with, mm-hmm. presents them to Mike Vrabel, and Mike Vrabel says yes and no.
Yeah, I think that's, to me, now, it could be a different way, I don't know. But that seems like a better working relationship than what has been assumed, that Mike Vrabel has all power and Rand is just basically the puppet sitting there and waiting on Vrabel to make a decision. Rand runs the day-to-day operation when it comes to being a GM. You can't, especially a young coach like Vrabel. Yeah, you could say he's power hungry, but you got to be calculated in your ambitions to have that much power, you know, because it can also go the wrong way for you, where you have all of this power and you're spread so thin that now you can't do the job that they have asked you really to do, and that's to be a head coach. I think that's why, you know, Bill Belichick is struggling right now, because he has all that power, like, across the board, and he doesn't have a Tom Brady that can sort of be the coach on the field for him. He doesn't have that anymore. So now he has to coach more and he has to GM more. And it seems like it's not working at this present time.
Works when you have Tom Brady.
It works when you have Tom Brady. Absolutely. And you have those veteran players that they had on that team that were used to winning. I think Rand and Vrabel, this is a, if indeed it's the way that Diana has said it is, it's a good relationship, because I do the day-to-day stuff, GM. I have power as the GM. But ultimately, if I want this roster to be a good roster, I need to then run it by the coach and say, hey, coach, what you think? This is your team. You running it. You know exactly what guys fit in that locker room, what guys you like. This is what is being presented to me. What do you think about it? And
yeah,
he has a right to say, hey, Rand, I don't think that's going to work. Or, hey, let's push that button and let's do it. As I think he did with Kevin Byard.
Yep. And I think we shouldn't forget that this is a new relationship. This is a first-year GM who was brought in, I think, with Mike Vrabel part of the search, right? And so I think that's a dynamic. But also, in all this, the theme that people were kind of bringing up last week, the team was sort of in turmoil. You had Tannehill hurt. You traded Byard. What's going on? You have a new GM in a first-year relationship with this coach and a team that's at a crossroads. That would put a strain, I think, on any coach-GM relationship, even if they'd been together for 10 years. So it stands to reason, it's natural that there would be a little bit of challenge to a new relationship. But that doesn't mean that they don't get along or they're already at odds with each other. I just think it's a series of tough decisions that they're trying to make together at a critical time. And you could see this coming when Carthon was hired. You knew that this was a possibility. But I don't think it means, like, I think people were trying to say, well, Rand leaked this because he's mad, or think like you're trying to make a soap opera out of it. But I think that's reading in too much. Now, the one thing I will agree with that was brought up, I think, by Jared last week, I was listening. I would have liked to seen Rand, after a big trade like that, alongside or in his own media availability. I think that would have helped with, Rand is running the show. You know what I mean? Like, the perception is important here.
But also, what does running the show mean? Because, I mean, what if, for all we know, Rand Carthon could have just, talked to Howie Roseman in Philadelphia, and this is a move that could have been completely facilitated by Mike Vrabel, for all we know. I think it's important as well to consider the source, because Diana Russini has had Titans tidbits and Titans information before John Robinson was fired and after John Robinson was fired. That leads me to believe that Diana Russini's source is probably Mike Vrabel. So under that consideration, she's getting all of this information from Mike Vrabel. So Mike Vrabel is telling Diana Russini, Rand runs the show. But I don't think any of us think that Rand runs everything totally and completely, and that it is the same relationship that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel had, where it's a very clear divide of John makes personnel decisions and Mike is the coach. Mm-hmm. That's not the relationship that they have. So why is Mike Vrabel telling Diana Russini that he runs the show?
But I think Vrabel had some say with Robinson, but I think at the end of the day, Robinson had the ability to make the A.J. Brown trade, and Vrabel couldn't couldn't at the end of the day veto it. I think that's maybe what's changed. There's still input, but I think he's got the ability to say no to a big trade. And if that's the only tweak, then I think that's a fair tweak.
Yeah,
it's a pretty big tweak.
It is. I mean, you go from, not having necessarily a say because the GM hired you. So the hierarchy was already set, to now having a lot more say in, because the hierarchy was sort of backwards. You were in place, then they hired the GM. So there's going to be sort of this honeymoon phase that they go through where everything is good and they're trying to, trying to fill each other out, what you like, you got your side of the sink, I got my side, do you allow your mess to linger over into my side of the sink or what? So we got to kind of work all this out and figure it all out. So I think they're now still in this honeymoon phase where they're just trying to figure things out. But Vrabel does, and which I believe he should. You should have say in what your roster looks like as a head coach. Now, all of the say no, but I think there are certain things that as a coach you should say, hey, yes or no, or hey, what do you think?
I would agree. You should have a say. It's your team.
Exactly.
But there's a difference between say and final say.
Yeah.
And if you have veto power, that's final say.
Yeah.
But there's veto power, but also the ability to say, look, I trust my GM. I respect and trust my GM, and I'm not going to use that veto power unless it is a really, really strong circumstance.
But I don't know if that's the case.
Well, it's a new relationship.
Yeah, but to me, you saw in the A.J. Brown trade where he had no veto power whatsoever. He had nothing, and he showed it outwardly in the video. I think he didn't want to go through that again. So I think with certain situations, he does have, I wouldn't say veto power, but veto power, I guess.
Final say,
but not over the whole roster. Just like a Derrick Henry. Okay, there's a trade here for Derrick Henry. Third rounder, let's just say. We've already heard the owner say, it's come out that the owner wants Derrick here, so it seemed like all trades have been nixed up until now.
Is that a real report?
I can't say it not being one. It seems like she's fond of Derrick Henry. I think she's also fond
of butts and seats. And Derrick Henry puts butts in seats.
Absolutely. But I don't think she wants to happen again what happened years ago with Eddie George. When you let a guy, and even Steve McNair, when you let a guy that's a pillar of your team, that you built your team on, at least coming here to Nashville, and then you get rid of him, and everybody's, the fans are like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. They're an uproar, and they never really got that sort of presence back in the backfield until Derrick. And Chris Johnson was great. He was great, but I don't think he was beloved. Well, I know he wasn't beloved the way Eddie was and the way Steve is now. I mean, Derrick is now. She don't want to go through that again. He's here. He's going to retire here. We're going to keep him here as long as we possibly can. So that, she's like, nope, I'm not. So nobody has to make that decision, whether Ran or Vrabel. They don't get to make that decision. That's the decision that's made by the owner. You have a few guys in organizations where decisions are made by the owner because these guys have been such a critical part of what you've been doing inside of this organization, whether it's Derrick Henry, whether, I don't know, Patrick Mahomes, somebody like that, that has been such a fixture in your organization that, hey, as an owner, that's the decision I'm going to make, especially if he's still playing well. Now, if he's not playing well, okay, we understand that, but Derrick is still playing well.
So if you haven't seen this, there is a rumor going around on mm-hmm. Twitter. It was started by a guy named Cole Jackson, who freelances for the Ravens. I don't know what that means to freelance for a team, but not necessarily a reporter.
Work,
right. Not a Rappaport, not a Jeremy Fowler, not a Russini said that there was a lot of talk about a trade for Derrick Henry, that there was a trade in place for the Ravens to acquire Derrick Henry, and it was vetoed by the Titans owner. Now, this caught like wildfire. Paul Kaharsky reported that that rumor was not true. Mm-hmm. It sounds plausible, but per Paul Kaharsky said it wasn't true. I'm going to believe Paul Kaharsky over this person I've never heard of before.
Of them having a deal in place?
The rumor is that the Ravens and the Titans had a deal in place for Derrick Henry. That deal was vetoed by the Titans owner. Paul Kaharsky tweeted, on Amy Adams Strunk vetoing a deal for Derrick Henry, not true.
Okay, again, I want to understand, was a deal in place?
That's all I have?
I don't think there was a deal in place, at least from what I have gotten, there wasn't a deal in place. Now, whether she said, you know, no, we're not trading him. He's one guy that we're not trading. It's ironic that all this comes down, and then Derrick Henry says, "I talk with the organization." You know, that came out of Derrick's mouth that we talked. And, you know, hey, it is what it is. I'm here. You know, so there had to be something said to Derrick Henry to make him think he's not going anywhere. So that either came from Rand, Vrabel, which, by the way, came from the owner. Like, we're not this guy unless you get something we cannot just walk away from. That's one guy we're not trading. We're not moving on from him because he's still a good runner for this organization. So Derrick Henry came out and sort of said, I had a talk with the organization.
Yeah, it was, and Paul Kaharsky tweeted that rumor wasn't true. Mm-hmm. No disrespect to Cole Jackson. I'll side with Paul over Cole Jackson, the freelancer for the Baltimore Ravens. But I'm glad that you bring up Amy Adams Strunk, because she may have had bigger say in one pretty massive personnel decision than we thought. We'll get into that coming up next. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us in 10 minutes. Caroline Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline Willie D-Mace, they join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs this Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans Week 9 matchup against the Steelers and give you the latest updates before the game. Our award-winning NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. So Diana Russini joined Robbie and Rexroad this morning, said that Ran runs the show, which of course sparks conversation, the same conversation we've been having ever since Ran Carthon got hired, ever since the C word, collaboration, became a much more constant, consistent word in our vocabulary, is who has final say. And where does Amy Adams' Strunk role really lie? If Ran's running the show, if Vrabel has veto power, well, what about Amy Adams' Strunk? Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports was on the My Main Man Michael Smith podcast earlier this week, mm-hmm. and provided some interesting insight about a potential role that Amy Adams Strunk could have played in a pretty massive acquisition for the Titans. This was Charles Robinson.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, the way he ended up with the Titans. I mean, I don't know if the story will ever get fully told, but I think it was very much an ownership-inspired draft pick. I do believe that. Mm-hmm. I think that if it were entirely Mike Vrabel who were making the decision, I think they might have, instead of investing, you know, two picks. Now, looking back, obviously there can be some alteration of memory looking back, but I think at the time Mike Vrabel would have loved to have had two other, you know, those two picks that turned into Will Levis. He would love to have been able to invest those two picks into you know, other parts of the depth chart. They had just taken Malik Willis in the third round the year before.
So again, that was Charles Robinson, and he's talking about Will Levis, mm-hmm. how he's been hearing that the Will Levis pick was an owner-influenced decision. What do we make of it?
Well, I don't know. You know, because you can't, I mean, it's not like it hasn't happened before. You know, the apple don't fall far from the tree. Her dad wanted one guy in the draft. And they got that one guy, Vince Young. That's the guy he wanted. And
Texas forever.
Exactly. Through hell or high water, he was going to get him, and he got him. So it's not far-fetched to say that the owner of this team was looking toward the future maybe a little bit sooner than what the head coach was. The head coach is looking at the now and his quarterback now, which is Ryan Tannehill. And the owner, I can see the owner say, hey, listen, if he's still on the board, and she saw that he still was on the board, do what you need to do to move up and get him within reason. Do what you need to do and move up and get him. And that's what they did. They were not going to get him in the first round unless they got him early enough, which means they would have had to give up more picks. They get him in the second round, move up a few spots, give up a few picks to get the quarterback that the owner wanted. And I don't think that's far-fetched. Again, the owner obviously liked Will Levis. So there is a possibility. Again, we've seen owners do it before. We've heard of owners doing it before. Hell, did it in here in Nashville. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that Amy said, listen, he's still on the board, move up and get him. Or they even probably brought it to her, like, Will Levis is still on the board. And she said, well, do what you need to do.
I want him.
Yeah, I want him. Do what you need to do. He's the many ranked him as the third best quarterback, you know, ahead of Richardson. He's still on the board. Let's do what we need to do to get him.
I guess it's all plausible. I have no idea if Charles Robinson is right on it or not. He sounds like he's speaking pretty confidently. I don't know how he gets this information, but I don't hear him breaking stories across the NFL all the time. He's a really intriguing guess, but how do I know? It would be a total guess for me to say whether that's accurate or not. It's possible. The owner does have say. When you run the team, you have say. That's kind of how it goes. I think it's kind of scary. Here we are on Halloween. If the owner is just out of nowhere every now and then, just on a whim, saying, yeah, I want you to get a quarterback now. I like this guy. Let's get him. I mean, but we've seen owners do that over time in sports. Yes, every now and then it works. Maybe they caught lightning in a bottle here based on what we saw Sunday. But if it went down like that, but who knows? Maybe we'll find out someday.
I don't know if we'll find out someday, but it is interesting to think about. But I agree with parts of what both of you guys said, D-Mace. It's absolutely plausible that, hey, I want a quarterback. Go get me a quarterback. We're opening a new stadium here in a few years. I want that quarterback to be established and on this team, and I want this team to be ready. I want this quarterback to be ready along with the stadium. It makes sense. And Willie, I'm with you. That is scary. Because I don't know if Amy, you know, evaluate, or Amy said, I need Will Levis, or if Amy just said, I need a quarterback. Do whatever it takes to get a quarterback. If you can't trade up to go get C.J. Stroud, do what you can to take the next best quarterback in this draft. Right now, she probably looks like a genius coming off of a 4-touchdown performance from Will Levis. But what if Will Levis, or what if whatever quarterback Amy said, we need to get that quarterback, what if he was awful? And we still don't know what Will Levis is going to be. We have a one-game sample size. What if he turns out to be terrible? Well, that's scary that the owner has involvement in those kinds of decisions. And it's the owner. It's their business to run. They can make whatever decision they want to make. But once owners get involved in big-time decisions like that, and trading up to go get a quarterback in the draft, I think is a big decision. It gets a little scary. I've seen Jerry Jones get involved in a whole lot of deals and a whole lot of decisions that the Cowboys have made. Maybe it didn't work out so great for old Jerry. I'm not saying the Eminem drunk is Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones, yeah.
But, I want to hear what Tim Hasselbeck has to think about it. He will join us coming up next. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck, Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.